Kareem Taylor for Promac BDA's Daily Brief podcast. And today I am here with Scott Laxo, who is executive producer at Loyal Casper. Scott, I need you to tell me, what is Loyal Casper and how did you get this job?
So Loyal Casper is, we're a creative branding agency. We are based in New York City and we also have an LA office. As you mentioned, I'm executive producer here. I got this job by, after graduating from university in 2006, I moved down to New York City, which is every upstate New Yorker's dream. I basically started interviewing at any company in film and television that I could get an interview at. That was my passion coming out of school. And I found a job posting on Mandy.com, which I'm not sure if that still exists, but it was a job posting by Loyal Casper for an office manager. So I interviewed here. I got hired on basically at the front desk doing, office management, resourcing, a little bit of IT, and then started to work my way into some project management, and then basically worked my way up from there. So started off at the front desk, became, a production coordinator, associate producer, producer, senior producer, and then worked my way up to executive producer. So that's been over the course of it, it's been about 11 or 12 years now. So it's been, been here for a while and worked my way up from the ground up.
What a beautiful story. So you went from a job posting on Mandy.com. I'm familiar. There's a lot of production jobs and things like that executive producer. The title, it sounds so important. You got the title executive, there's producer in there. What exactly does that title mean and what do you do on a daily basis?
So executive producer here, I know it can be a little bit different at different companies. Here it's a split role. So about half of it, I would say is more of the internal facing sort of production management. I oversee our production team. I help manage the producers, help them manage their projects. It's that sort of more, internal facing, making sure all the projects are running smoothly. And then the other half is more of the sort of business development side. It's working on proposals. It's, getting new accounts in. It's a lot of client services, things like that. So that's more of the outward facing side of it. So it really is kind of a dual role here. I came up as a producer. I learned from David Herbrook, who's one of the co-owners. So we've both always been on the producing side, and then moved up. Eventually I was a head of production where I was overseeing the producers we have, but with less of the external side of things. And then executive producer is a step into more of, like I said, the business development side, the outward facing, the getting new projects in, working with our business development team to secure new accounts and make sure those run smoothly and that the clients are always happy.
Thank you. And did you know about Loyal Casper in terms of the business that Loyal Casper is in? And did you understand that originally when you first got in?
I did not. No. When I moved to New York, I actually didn't even know that our particular industry, I didn't actually know that existed. Coming out of college, I was aware of film and television in general, but really not much about the specifics of design and marketing and branding. So it was kind of very eye-opening for me when I, I took the interview, I learned about the company. And then once I started working here, I realized that there's this entire world of work that is done by incredibly talented people that I never really known about. So it was new to me at the time. I didn't really know much about it going in. It can still be a challenge to explain it to my parents and to other people who aren't familiar with it. But it was this undiscovered world that now once I got hired in and was familiar with this world, I realized that's where I wanted to be and where I wanted to grow. So I've been in this world ever since.
And you've been at Loyal Casper for, you said 11 or 12 years. Some people right now talking to you, you seem so rare, seem like such a, like what people would call a unicorn. They say you don't exist in this world. They say you don't exist. You've been there for so long. What do you think is sort of attributed to your longevity and what makes you so passionate?
I do exist, but I think I don't know. I think it's a combination of both the industry that we're in, but then also Loyal Casper specifically. Like I said, I think once I learned about what this industry was and the kind of work that's being done, I became very passionate about it. And then also, you know, this company and other companies in our field are very, you know, we're very like community and sort of family driven. So there's a lot of support and there's a lot of mentorship. I mean, that's why we're talking about the mentorship program now. There's just so much support for growth and for learning. And I was nurtured and I was, you know, helped by David Herbruck and everyone else that I've learned from over the years. And just the more I learned, the more passionate I became about the work we do and the people we work with. It felt like a natural fit, even though before I got the job, I didn't actually know that this world really existed. So I think the unicorn terminology is kind of interesting. I think a lot of people in our field, once they find it, they love it and they stay. You know, people maybe move around to different companies more. Some people like to bounce around. Some people like to freelance. I think I found that myself, and then also many other producers were more nesters. We kind of like finding a family, you know, building a home there, and then really learning the ins and outs of the specifics of the places we are, because it makes us most effective at what we do. So I think, having that 12 years of experience at the same company has really helped me just know things sort of intuitively that maybe I wouldn't know if I had moved around more often.
Right. Thank you for sharing that with me. And when you were at university, what exactly did you major in? What did you get your degree in?
I was at the University of Rochester, which is in upstate New York, and I studied in the Film and Media Studies department, which is very, at that university, it's fantastic, but it is very much sort of the film theory, film analysis and criticism. So it's a lot of studying films and writing about them and television as well. So I studied that. I think for me and my peers who wanted to be more hands-on and make more things, we kind of had to get creative, and, you know, we would team up with students from other local universities who had some equipment, and we would make student films together. And but, you know, I always had a passion for film and television, for anything just related in that media space. Even if the department wasn't super focused on actual hands-on production. But I have found that, you know, many people in our field and in our industry, they do have a lot of, you know, very strong film background and understanding the theory and the history behind how film and television is made, which has been very, very helpful in our line of work. So, that's what I studied, and then sort of parlayed that into a more sort of hands-on management position in our field.
A fantastic story. And one of the biggest takeaways you mentioned, and you talked about, you mentioned this a little bit earlier about mentorship, but you're a part of the executive mentorship program. You're a mentee in that program. And you mentioned that you've learned that some aspects of yourself and your career, you assume that only it came naturally in terms of growth, but you realize that in order to really grow, it takes an actual effort to hone those skills. When did that realization occur?
Well, I started to learn that basically day one on the job. I'm lucky that, you know, David, who is one of the owners here, and Bayat is the other owner. They, from the very beginning, were very invested in helping me and everyone else grow within the company, and to learn. Basically, I think kind of what was presented was that you can become whatever you want to be and you can grow however you want to go. It's totally up to you. Like, there's no real limitations on what you're passionate about, and they will support that. So I think that kind of opened my eyes to, like my growth is only limited by my efforts and my determination. It's funny to think back, but just learning that from the beginning and knowing that, you know, it's what I'll get out of it, what I put into it. And that has been the case even now with the mentorship program, which I found extremely helpful and in many ways eye-opening as well, is looking at yourself and looking inward and sort of being critical of, yourself so that you can make improvements and you can learn, and taking that time to really think about myself and how I can improve, because so much of my job is overseeing other producers and helping them grow and nurturing them, and then doing that for myself through the mentorship program. My mentor, Mark Williams at Sundance, has been amazing and has helped me grow so much even in just the 6 months we've been doing it. So I think that's it's taking the natural abilities or natural skills or natural passions we have and then really honing them and figuring out how to make the most of them rather than just, relying on pure instincts.
And we're working with Mark from Sundance. What does it look like on a practical level? Do you meet up and chat, or how does it work, and what does that really look like?
Yeah, so we meet every 3 to 4 weeks about. We meet at his office at 11 Penn Plaza. He is amazing and is nice enough to dedicate, an hour to an hour and a half each time we meet. There's the mentorship program, they provide this workbook that has different categories, different sections of areas to focus on. It started with there's sections on personal branding and your personal story, and then we've moved into areas such as executive presence. We're talking about communication strategies now. So, there's the workbook. I usually complete a certain section of it. That is going to be the topic that we're discussing. And then, we just have a really nice conversation for upwards of 90 minutes each time. And it's great because I've gotten to know Mark very well. He's very, open and honest. And, I've learned a lot about him and a lot about myself. And, just having that, the workbook has been a good structure for those conversations. But they really kind of take on a life of their own once we're in the room and talking about, my specific examples or my experiences and how they relate to the various topics from the program.
And you spoke of the workbook and one of the topics being executive presence. And is there a sort of secret or insight that you can share with me that has come from some of the materials that you're using? Like, can I institute one of these changes? I pretty much just want to get I want to get the free. I need you to tell me what the secret is, please.
what is the secret to executive presence specifically? That's a tough one, because that's something that, Mark and I have actually talked a lot about, and it's one of those sort of intangible characteristics of people where, it's hard to put your finger on it, it's hard to articulate it. I also think that the definition of executive presence has changed a lot over the years. I think, if you look up older examples of it, they tend to be this very kind of stuffy male sort of advertising agency madmen sort of thing, whereas now I think it's really evolved a lot, and I don't know what is the secret to it. I think in conversations with Mark, being empathetic and honest and open and trustworthy and genuine, these are characteristics I think that make for great leaders, and that those who have those tend to, I guess you could say, have executive presence.
Amazing.
It's kind of a tough one. I don't think I've found the secret yet either, but it's something that, we're working on.
I mean, you hit it right on the spot in terms of just, some of those insights that come across, even just having some of those soft skills that you mentioned. Sometimes we don't think that those are the most important skills. Even early on in our conversation, you talked a lot about the hard skills, the project management, making sure that things get done, understanding client management, all those parts of it. But then you mentioned things like empathy. And so how do those things sort of come together for you in your role? How do you begin to institute some of those things into what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, it is an interesting combination of, and especially in my current role, it is that combination of you need those hard skills. You need to know how to be a producer, how to manage a project, how to do the budgets and the calendars and, these sort of tangible skills that someone needs to have. But then, what makes a great producer are those more intangible qualities, those characteristics that, things that come off as leadership. I think, the being genuine and honest and empathetic, it's a crucial part of working not only with people that I'm trying to help nurture them and help them grow, but also working in a creative environment. You know, we have a lot of extremely talented people, and we all have our passions, and we're all very opinionated and have strong feelings about the work. So being able to speak on a level with everyone where we all know that we're trying to achieve the same goal. You know, we're not, there's no sort of conniving or internal competition happening. Like, we're all on the same team. We're trying to get to the same goal. We might have different ideas of how to get there, but we all know that our intentions are good and that we're trying to accomplish the same thing. And that just makes communicating with each other so much more real and effective. And I don't know. I think it does bring out the best work in everyone, because you learn to trust each other and you trust each other's motives. And we know that we're trying to bring out the best in each other. Even if hearing an opinion can be hard sometimes, we know that the intention is good. So I think that's kind of an interesting combination of the hard skills, but then also having those qualities, which I would say make for a great leader. It can be hard to articulate them, but you know it when you see it. But it can be interesting to kind of look within yourself and try to figure out, do I have these? Where can I improve them? Like, how do I get these intangible qualities? And that's been an interesting, part of the mentorship program and my conversations with Mark.
Awesome. And if someone wants to be an executive producer at Loyal Casper, what is it? What kind of advice would you give to them to get to where you are?
I think that the biggest piece of advice I would give anyone who wants to do this kind of work is to always be really hungry to keep learning and to grow and to be open to feedback and constructive criticism and being, just fully committed to working on themselves and helping themselves to grow by listening to those who've been there before, by, taking advice from their mentors. It really is about, not assuming that you know everything or that you're always right. It's always, being open to collaboration, being hungry to learn more, identifying areas that you need to improve or that you want to learn more. So it really is that kind of hunger. It's like an undying passion to improve. Nobody's perfect. No one will ever be perfect. But, striving to get there is what we should all be doing. So I think that is maybe the key quality of someone who wants to grow, as a producer or even as a creative. Because I think that you can never lose that. Even when you retire, you should feel like, you're still not perfect. You still have more to learn. There's still more you can do and more growth there. So I think that probably would be the differentiating factor, I suppose.
One of the things that I've learned, or one of the smartest decisions I think I've made in my career so far, is realizing that doing things together are better than doing things alone. For me, in kind of applying that to my career, what do you think is one of the smartest decisions that you've made in your career that have been defining for you?
I think that's actually an amazing point. I think that's kind of what any creative business is built around, is collaboration. It's partnering with people that are amazing at what they do and working to bring out the best in each other. I cannot design to save my life. I'm not, I'm not much of a craftsman, but I've found that I've gravitated towards positions where I'm working with extremely talented people and helping them do their best work. And like you said, no one can do it on their own. No, I don't know many great creatives who can do a whole project by themselves without having a producer counterpart. A producer counterpart. And obviously, I don't know any producers that are going to go and do a whole project on their own. So it really is that sort of marriage of the two sides. Bringing out the best in each other, making the best work possible. Like that kind of collaboration and working in an environment that is very collaborative and, I say familial, but it really is like you start to feel like a family because you're all in it together and you're trying to achieve the same goal. And it wouldn't be possible without everybody working together because you're not going to do your best work in a vacuum. You really need other people to work with and to collaborate with.
Awesome. And is there something that you believe that sometimes hard to say, sort of like a hard piece of advice that is sometimes hard to digest, that but you believe is truly important to success?
I think admitting that, you know, that you're not always going to be right, or that your opinion isn't necessarily going to be the best one in every situation, and being open to hearing other ideas and other arguments, and coming to an agreement with people, not just going into a conversation wanting to get your way. I mean, it can be hard to think that, you know, my idea isn't the best one, or my solution isn't necessarily the right one. And that can be difficult to kind of swallow your pride, go in there and be humble. But I think that really is kind of the key. That's the key to doing the best work is, you know, people are going to have different opinions. And if you work together, you'll come to what is probably universally the best solution. So not just going in there, you know, even when, whether you're presenting an idea to a colleague or to a client, not just assuming that you are automatically right, and admitting that other people's ideas are valid and that you can learn from each other. And if you do that, you will make the best work. So yeah, it's kind of that being a bit humble, and just admitting to yourself, I'm not always going to be right.
Amazing. Scott Laxo, thank you so much for talking with me today. Executive producer at Loyal Casper.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provides the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack, and follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. And you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and now on Spotify. Thanks for listening.